WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
That's Matt Wolf shoots, scores! Kyle Lowe from the high slot! Took the pass on a backhand from Owen Cylinder and beats Driscoll.
Every Wednesday night, get all the info you need to know about the next game.
Launch went ahead looking for Vaisanen. It was deflected by Northern Michigan. Vaisanen goes and tracks it down. He'll leave it now for Owen Cylinder. Back up top it comes. Brad Johnson with a shot. He scores! It was deflected out in front. Deflected, I believe, by Austin Jopy.
Get the insight from the man behind the bench. He's played here. He's coached here. He and Bob Peters are Beaver Hockey. The Tom Ceratori Show, live at the Tavern on the South Shore, on the radio home for Beaver Hockey since day one of the Division I era. We are the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Tavern on South Shore for the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Hope everyone had a great Christmas and hope that you've got great New Year's plans, and hopefully Beaver hockey is in your New Year's Eve plans. The head coach of the Beavers, Tom Ceratori, joining us. Coach, how was your Christmas?
Good. Good Christmas, Schultzy. Always good. Need the break and good seeing family and just relaxing, and it was awesome.
You remember your first hockey-related Christmas present as a kid?
No.
Skates?
Not a
stick?
Clue. Not
a
clue.
Had to be one of those, right?
I don't even know, Schultzy. I don't know. That's a good question.
Were you one that always asked for hockey stuff for Christmas?
No, I don't know. I don't even know. I can't remember that far back. And I wonder.
Selective amnesia?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's not like we got I don't necessarily know if we got much equipment or anything. I think you got what you got when the season started. I can't remember getting anything for Christmas hockey related, to be honest with you, because hockey started earlier, and then we wore the same equipment for years. I mean, back in those days.
Well, you had to wear Frank's old stuff then, right?
No, no, he was a goalie. He was
that's
a goalie.
Right.
But, it wasn't. I'm just trying to think, too. We had neighbors down the road that, there was definitely some hand-me-downs. But skates lasted you 2 years unless your feet really, changed. But other than that, skates were 2 years. Same helmet for, 5 years. I mean, I wore the same shoulder pads in college I wore in peewees. I mean, so I don't even hardly remember this stuff. The only thing I remember getting a dozen sticks from Christian Brothers for about 4 or 5 years in a row, and that was the beginning of the year, and I think those sticks lasted me the whole year. I mean, it's crazy.
Boy, how times have changed with that in that regard.
Oh, for sure. And it's so much more. It was so inexpensive in those days.
As a kid growing up, did you have any hockey related Christmas traditions, like getting together with your cousins and playing out on the pond? Or
no, we were the only hockey players in all of our family. It's odd, but we have four boys, two played basketball, two played hockey. We moved. Schultzy kind of knows this. We moved from Deer River, and my brothers were 7th grade, 5th grade, 2nd grade, and I was in kindergarten. So I played hockey because the Caseys lived four houses down from me, and Greenway just won back-to-back state titles in high school. And then my brother Frank, he started hockey in 9th grade. He got sick and tired of basketball, and he wanted to give it a shot, and he made the team, and they took second in the state. And 5 years later, he's playing Division I hockey. So all that stuff is crazy. My brother Tony, my brother Joe stayed with basketball. So we were like a basketball family. All my cousins came from Nashua, Keewatin, which doesn't have hockey. So, no, Kelly, we never, nothing like that. There was nothing really hockey-related from that standpoint.
As far as the first half of the season is concerned, what'd you like?
Well, I mean, it's nice generating some offense. There's no question about that. And I really like where our special teams are at right now. I didn't like where our special teams were in the month
of October.
They really have. In the month of October, we were leaking oil in both areas. But now we're, I don't know what we are in November and December, but we have to be sitting at 30-35% on the power play. And we're probably
we were under 10 for the first month.
For sure. And we were like, and I think we were about 70 to 75% the first month on the kill. And we got to be close to 90% since November 1 as well. So those are some bright spots. And those are areas that are always going to be inconsistent. It's just everybody's going to have some time where they're just struggling, especially on the power play. You're going to have some weeks where you're just dialed in. And there's going to be some weeks where you're just fighting it. And so we like, obviously, where we're at right there. And I told you this yesterday. It's like we have a little bit of a disease in the second period. I don't know what you do. I mean, we're aware of it, you know. But that's,
is that the most frustrating thing about being a coach? When you can identify a problem and you don't know how to fix it?
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know how you can. I mean, it's unfixable, you know. I mean, you just got to get – I don't know what – if it's a mindset. I mean, we talked about having shorter shifts, making sure we have good short lengths. I'm changing lines. There's times I'll change lines 8 seconds in on a whistle because I don't want that 8 seconds with the long line change in the second period to be a minute eight, you know, or a minute 20. So, I mean, so then you do things as a coach where you don't want to, you know, you'll short shift just so you don't get caught in a predicament where you're going to have an extended shift. So, I mean, we're very, very aware of it. But, and you try to do the things necessary to try to eliminate, you know, part of the problem. But at the end of the day, you know, we've struggled in that area, and we've struggled on, you know, overall on Friday nights as well. And I don't know why.
As a coach, walk the listeners through that fine line that you have to walk of talking to your team about something enough where they get the message, but not too much where they think about it too much and they start thinking instead of just playing the game.
I don't know. I mean, they can think all they still know. I mean, there's certain things I think you can talk about more than others. I think there's certain things you don't talk about. A lot of things as a coach, it has to be gut. It has to be reactionary. It has to be at that particular time. If you feel it's needed, then you go for it. And if the guys don't think it's needed, tough banana sometimes. I got to do what I got to do. And we have to have a feel as a leader. We have to have a feel. We got to do certain things, and we got to push certain buttons. Sometimes the buttons we push aren't going to be the right ones, Schultzy. Sometimes they're going to be the right ones, but you still got to do something. You got to be proactive, and you got to do your job. That's how I look at it.
I think the biggest maybe benefit in the first half for your team was you got a lot of travel out of the way and a lot of the long travel out of the way.
Good point. Really good point, Schultzy. The only trouble is that the travel that we have right now are pretty good teams. You got to go to Tech, and you got to go to BG, and you got to go to Mankato, so you got to go to St. Cloud, so it's not going to be easy. But we talked about that a little bit, but not with our group, but just our coaching staff talked about that. But it is nice knowing that, you know, some of these trips, we're leaving on Thursdays right now, you know. So Tech will leave on Thursday, you know. Mankato, we're leaving on Thursday. We're flying to Bowling Green. So, no, that is kind of mostly in these January and February dog days. It's nice to be home.
You remember back to the CHA days where every road trip was a flight, and you leave at Thursday at 4:30 in the morning, and you get home at Sunday at 10 o'clock at night, and you lather, rinse, repeat, and you do it all over again the next week. I don't know how you guys did it.
Yeah, you know what? It was crazy. I look back at those days, and you have to remember when we had to go on Thursday mornings because there was the 48-hour rule. Like, you couldn't leave on Wednesdays. You could not leave within 48 hours of a Friday game. So that means we'd have to leave. The latest we could leave, if we were playing 7 o'clock on Friday, the earliest we could leave is after 7 o'clock Wednesday. That was an NCAA rule. Well, then it changed maybe 10 years ago. So you could leave on Wednesdays. But holy moly, that's why we had to leave Thursday mornings. And if you remember, we would leave Wednesday night and we'd go to stay in the Twin Cities. Remember that, Schultz? You hit the yep. Super 8 there right off Portland, and we would leave at 7 o'clock. We'd leave at 7, actually 6 o'clock because it was Eastern time, you know. So we'd leave at 6 o'clock and get down there to abide by the 48-hour rule.
I never asked you what the method for that madness was.
That's what it was.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, in a perfect world, I'd rather fly on Wednesday, get to our destination, have only one hotel versus two hotels, blah, 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 you know. But, no, that was the NCAA rule that we had to abide by back then.
Interesting.
In the first half, which, I don't know, this is such a cliche question, but to me there have been some surprises from some of your young guys. Maybe not necessarily in point production, but but certainly in the amount of minutes that they're giving you. Overall, as a freshman group, how have they come along since you guys opened up practice back in September?
Well, I think pretty good, but I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to go either way. It's a hard transition, boy. It's just a hard transition. So I think overall, I think collectively as a group, I think they're going to be pretty darn good over the course of 4 years. And I think their upside is good. I think there's going to be really good growth in their game. I mean, a lot of those guys, they're not playing critical minutes right now because they don't have to play critical minutes. So, but they're getting acclimated. They're playing enough where they're getting good experience. And I like a lot of them. I really like a lot of those guys. And I think, again, I'm not going to grade them. I'm not going to sit there and be tough on them, and I'm not going to sit there and praise them. I just think they're doing a darn good job. And, you know, the biggest thing is we'll find out next year and the year after, you know, the growth in their game, and I think that's the biggest thing.
At what point this break did your team come back, and were you able to practice again?
We had an optional practice, an optional practice Sunday night. And Monday morning, it was our first day back on the ice, and we've had great practices all week. I think it's Wednesday right now, right? Yeah, Tuesday. Yesterday was the best practice we've had all year. Our guys were dialed in. Man, they were good. They were good yesterday, and it's good to see. Like, I like where we're at right now. You know, St. Cloud probably likes where they're at. So who knows? But I like our guys, and I like where we're at. I like our practice habits. I like they're alert, they're attentive. They want more. They're not satisfied with their first half, but again, now we got to go out there and show it, and we got to prove it. There's certain parts of our game that need to change, and we have to be a little tougher to play against. And you have to execute that though. We have to compete probably a little harder.
When your team goes into a break like this Christmas break, what kind of message do you give them as far as like, do you ask them to make sure to get on the ice, to do some working out?
No, I never talk about the ice, but yeah, for sure, it's automatic. You got to work out. They're big time athletes. They got to try to maintain their routine. They got to get away from the game. Mm-hmm. They got to get away from the game. But there's certain things you just do, and no different than working out is healthy. It's the right thing to do, and mostly you know what they're not gonna they're not gonna eat as good as they do when they're here. That's understandable. I didn't. I'm sure you guys didn't either. It's just that's one of those things during the holidays. You're gonna, you know,
I had
you're
a lot
gonna
of prime rib.
We're gonna indulge a little bit, and we should. Everybody should. But they also need to stay on top of things. I mean, that's their job is to go to school and play hockey. And they're not going to school during Christmas vacation, but you know they're coming back to play hockey, and they have to make sure again that they do their due diligence as far as maintaining their. Maintaining their weight and things like that, and they do a good job of that. You can tell. I can tell when they get back. Not only when you weigh them in, but you can tell on the ice. And we look like we're in good shape right now. So the couple of weeks off, I think again more than anything, it's psychologically it's so helpful for the guys.
Well, and this time of year too, especially. They don't go back to classes for a couple more weeks. They're just hockey players.
They're pro hockey players right now. That's what we always say this time. They're pro hockey players right now. It's great for them. I mean, we can concentrate on hockey. We can do a few more things on the ice right now, and we don't have to worry about anything else. They don't need to worry about a test. They don't need to worry about class the next day. So if we want to go a little longer, or if we want to do a little video, whatever we want to do, we can do it. And you know, and they're up for it too because, again, they're strictly focused on hockey. Mm-hmm.
Some years break might be a week. Some years might be 10 days. Some years it might be two full weeks. Heck, the women this year are off for a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's their first week back. They actually have a league bye, mm-hmm. which to me is just bonkers how you can do that with an even number of teams.
Well, because they play the 18th and 19th. That's probably why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Mankato's playing, but. It's just the way it happened, probably.
How does the length of the break, though, change the routine for the guys and what they have to do when they're home?
I think what you need to do is you still got to bring them back. And that's what can get boring, too, Schulze, is that – and I think Jimmy's bringing the girls back the fourth, I think. And that's, they don't play for 10 days, but you have to. There's a point where you just can't be home for a month. You just can't. You got to get back, and you got to get back into your routine, and you have to. But it gets long and boring too. It's nothing's easy, and there's probably no right answer. But being at home for 3 weeks to a month isn't healthy. Mm-hmm. That isn't, and that's too long. So, and the guy, as you know too, the guys can't wait to get back. You know, when they're home for like 10 days, they're ready. They're ready to get back into their routine. So, like with scannies, it's a long one. I've had that too. I've had that before too. And you got to get them back. You just have to get them back.
Any of your guys have issues either weather related, maybe COVID regulation related? You got a bunch of foreigners. Anybody have any issues getting home or getting back?
No, Alex Iarullo did, but it was just being stuck in Minneapolis on Sunday night. So he, you know, because of canceled flights. And he didn't get back till 4 or 5 o'clock on Monday, so he missed our practice on Monday. But other than that, all of our international guys made it back. They all had to take COVID tests because when you're coming back in the country, so everything went well there. And we were obviously concerned and nervous about that. And, but no, so yeah, everything.
In the COVID era, does a coach lose sleep over a holiday when you got guys scattering like that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can do
exactly,
about it.
Exactly. So. That's why. No. It is what it is. What are you going to do? I mean, is this, I mean, it's just a part of our everyday life right now, Schultz. I don't even hardly think. Yeah, I hardly even think about it. It just is what it is. And take a look at the World Juniors right now. I mean, just take a look at the National Hockey League. Take a look at football. It's crazy, you know. And but anyway, everything went great for the guys right there.
Well, I hope we all can cross our fingers, get a full remainder of the season in here without too many issues.
Exactly. But, I'm with you.
Well, when we come back, the Paul Bunyan Youth Hockey Tournament is this weekend. So we're going to use this show to talk from a Division I college coach's perspective what he wants youth players to be working on as far as skill development. You know, weigh the pros and cons of, you know, certain things that youth hockey players do. Do you stay in high school and play hockey? Do you go off to juniors? When do you go to juniors? We'll talk about all that stuff when we come back. It's the Tom Ceratori Show here from the Tavern. We are giving away Tavern gift cards and a gaggle of tickets to this weekend's or this Friday's game with the St. Cloud State Huskies. That is when we come back. It's the Tom Ceratori Show at the Tavern right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
Think we're due for a good cold winter? Get the convenience of a remote start now at Detail Plus. Just the touch of a button with a remote car starter from Detail Plus. Call 444-7587 to schedule your installation today. Need glass repair? They can do that too from Chandler's Auto Glass. They work with all insurance companies and take care of that pesky paperwork. With any windshield replacement, you receive a free mini car detail. Visit online, detailplusbemidji.com, or call 444-PLUS.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. 5 classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
Hi, Dan the Chevy man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM man here. That's right, we have Buick, GMC, along with the full Chevrolet lineup. As we are finally coming out of the pandemic, now is the time to come see the Donlinger difference. We have a lot of new and pre-owned vehicles arriving daily. You are sure to find the vehicle you want. Also, don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji. Chevy, find new roads.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tom Ceratori Show at the Tavern. I was in mid-bite there of my pork nachos. Kelly, you got stuffed mushrooms tonight?
I got the stuffed mushrooms, and Tom got his favorite steak salad.
It's great.
You get that often.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good.
I love it.
Should get that Pittsburgh style next time, Tom. Should get French fries on it.
Yeah?
It's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I love it, Pittsburgh style. Permanis, is that right, Schultze?
Yes. Can't go wrong with
remember
Permani
that.
Brothers.
Remember that?
It's the only good thing about going to Robert Morris
exactly.
trips, right?
Pittsburgh's great, though. Pittsburgh's a great city.
It is a cool town.
Yeah.
It is a very cool town.
So the Paul Bunyan Youth Hockey Tournament is this weekend, Tom. So I figured we'd tie your show in with what a Division I college coach thinks about skill development and where the youth game is. Because those players eventually are going to want to play for you.
Yep.
So generally speaking, where is the youth game right now?
I think it's great. I think it's great. And I think it's so much farther ahead than it was 15 years ago, 25 years ago, 35 years ago. And I like where everything's. These kids today, they can really skate. I think their skill sets are off the charts. The only downside there is today, and there's nothing you can do about it. We can sit there and argue, and we can say when we were young, but they don't have they don't play shiny hockey. They don't play sandlot baseball. They don't play sandlot football. You can't call it sandlot hockey, but those are the things that don't happen anymore because it's just we're so overly organized in a society in sports, and it's not the kids' fault. It's just the way everything is right now, and it's not going to change. So that's the only thing that I think is lacking in all this, but there's nothing you can do about it. And I think it's so healthy if they could get away a little bit and do some of these things because there's pressure on these kids, and there's too much pressure on them. And that's the one thing that I'm concerned about.
You don't have to say this. I'm going to say this because I see it as a sports official.
Yeah.
It comes from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Parents put too much pressure on – what's the first question a parent asks a kid when they get home from a game?
Did you win?
Should not be. Did you have
fun? Or how many goals did you have? Yeah. Or how many hits did you have?
Yep.
How many touchdowns did you have?
Yep.
How many saves did you make? How many How many points did you make? There's no question, but – I don't want to sit there and totally. I don't want to beat up on the parents too. I mean, I think it's just a society in general, and parents are part of it, and they are involved, and they're probably involved because they gotta haul them everywhere too, and where there's nothing like hockey. I stayed in a hotel. I told this story the other day. Not that people need to hear my stories because they're all boring.
It is the Tom Sertori show.
Yeah, that's right. I can say what I want then.
Yeah.
No, but I was in a hotel. We stayed in a hotel when I was a squirt. They put a squirt team together, and we went to one tournament at the end of the year with the season. It was Bemidji here. And we stayed in a hotel. I think we had like three rooms for like 13 guys. And we were like, third, fourth, and fifth grade. Honestly, I don't remember the next time I stayed in a hotel. It might have been college. I mean, I might have. I don't remember. And because, like I was telling the story the other day, when we went down to the cities to play hockey, we always went once a year. We always stayed at the house of the team we were playing. Like, we played Wayzata, so I'd stay at one of their players' house. We'd go to Rose or Thief River. We would stay at their house. When they came and played us, they'd stay at our houses. That's how we did things back in those days. And we didn't travel that often. And we didn't start till like Thanksgiving. And it was just different. And those were the days. And now the days are just totally different. And I don't, it is what it is.
As a Division I coach, do you think it's important that kids are not so specialized and have the opportunity to play other sports, not just hockey, not just basketball? And do you see that a lot with your players that come to Bemidji State? Are they just have been one athlete?
A lot of them are now. It's just that's just the nature of the beast. And, I mean, AAU basketball, with AAA hockey, AAU life, or what's baseball? Is it AAU baseball, too? Is that what it just is what it is. I mean, that's the world we live in. And, no, do I like it, Kelly? No, I don't at all. I think it's unhealthy. We need these kids to, again, play sandlot football and sandlot baseball. Go to the outdoor rinks. I played a ton of basketball growing up. A ton of basketball. Not organized basketball, but a ton of basketball with my buddies. We played so much basketball, and I just look back, and those were some great games. And So, no, Kelly, it's too bad. And I know what you're saying, too. Even if it's organized, like in the summers, they're just concentrating on a specific sport, and it's not even their sport, probably, is what you're getting at. I mean, they're concentrating on maybe hockey or basketball, you know, in the summer when they should be playing baseball. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I'm a three-sport guy. I'm old school. I think we all are. And I think it's healthy. I wish they would do that. But now things have changed. So maybe I wish they play two sports now. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have many three-sport athletes anymore. That's a given. So, talking about it is just, we're taking up too much oxygen talking about it if we're going to, but three sports. But I wish they play at least two sports. And when I see a kid like, oh, this so-and-so is an all-state football player, all-state baseball player. It's actually refreshing. And it's like you want to recruit that kid just because of that. It could be an average hockey player, but you're so pumped up that a kid is a multi-sport athlete. And it just really, it excites you, and I respect that.
Well, and every once in a while we'll get a women's hockey player who plays softball or a women's basketball player who's on the track and field team. So it's fun to see that. You don't see it a lot in men's sports as much, I don't think.
You saw more when BSU had a track program on the men's side.
For sure.
Saw a lot of football track guys.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, no. Tom, at the youth level, is there too much focus on playing games and not enough on practice and skill development and just quote-unquote playing but not structured playing?
100%. Way too many games. Think about hockey here, and we all know this, but we talk about it all the time. And I have some of these stats might be off a little bit, so I'm not maybe the guru I should be on some of this stuff, but people can get the hint. We'll play 50 games, youth hockey, Pee-wees, Bantams. I'll just put a number. I'll put an arbitrary 50 games, and you might have two practices a week to three practices and 2 to 3 games. Well, that ratio's out of whack. That's out of whack. To me, you should have you should have twice as many practices as games, shouldn't you? So if you play 40 games, you should have 80 practices. That would just make, that'd be common sense. That doesn't happen. But you'll go play a game. We'll use Bemidji. We live in Bemidji. Let's talk Bemidji. I'll use when Matt played. So we'll go to East Grand Forks, or we'll go to Roseau, or we'll go to Warroad, or we'll go to Baudette. We'll go to Thief River, whatever. It doesn't matter. The Falls. And we'll drive 2 hours there, 2 hours back, get there an hour early before the game, and the average kid might touch the puck for 15 seconds. 15 seconds. Or you'll go play baseball. They'll get 3 at-bats. Might get 2 balls hit to him. But you could have had a practice that could have taken BP. Doug Life could have thrown to him. He could have got 80 hacks in. And then you could have played infield. He could have hit infield, outfield. They could have had 50 balls hit to him. I mean, think about it. That's all I'm getting at, is that we do all of this for 15 to 20 seconds of touching the puck, mm-hmm. For 3 at-bats to 4 at-bats to maybe, it's single digits. Depending on where you're playing in the field. Yeah, the shortstop and the second baseman might get more balls hit to him. But I'll tell you right now, poor right fielder, center fielder, or left fielder are getting minimal. If they are, they're getting a weak maybe a base hit up to him, and they just got to throw it into the shortstop or the cutoff man. So you know where I'm coming from there, Schultz. Yep. And that's kind of what's sad about all this stuff. Boy, this is great, isn't it? I love talking. Get away from hockey. Let's talk about this stuff. This is great. We'll talk college football in a bit too, Schultzy?
What is the biggest skill that is lacking when a player gets to the college level?
Oh, boy. I don't know if anything's really lacking. I mean, these kids are good athletes today, and like I said, their skill sets are unbelievable.
All right, let's rephrase the question. What skill set should be focused on more at a youth practice than it is now?
Well, I think they're doing a better job. I think what you need to concentrate on is skill development. I think you need to work on shooting, on skating, on edge work. Edge work on shooting, definitely on shooting, because it's such an important component. Stick handling, but a lot of what they're doing now, and it's they're doing small games are so critical. Like you need to let the ice do the teaching. You got to let the ice do the teaching. And sometimes the best thing you can do, sandlot baseball, going to the hockey rink, just drop the puck, let them play in a small confined area, drop the puck, and let them go.
All right, talk about the importance of small confined area and how that develops skill.
Well, how would, because you have to, you know what, if you're, they'll figure it out. Again, let the ice do the teaching. If you're going to expose the puck and it gets stolen off your stick, and then you do it again and it gets stolen off your stick, you're going to probably the next time say, well, maybe I need to protect the puck a little bit more, and I'm going to use my body now. I mean, some of these things kids can figure out on their own. They can figure that out on their own. If they want to play, if they want to keep the puck, they'll figure it out. If they're going to keep swinging higher or with balls in the dirt, they're going to figure out that maybe they got to lay off those eventually, or they're going to strike out. So that's what we're talking about. Again, let the ice do the teaching. Play small games. Just, you know what, work on their skill development for half the practice, and then play small games the rest, and they're going to learn how to make plays. Oh, Billy's open. I better move Billy the puck. Now Billy gets it. Oh, I've got a shot. Or now I'll pass to Joe. I'll pass to Doug, whatever. They will figure that out. They will figure that out. And sometimes we just want to overcoach them. We want to do drills, 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 drills. And these kids are so drilled out. And they want to play. We play small games almost every day at the college level. We split almost every day where our guys are working on skill development. 20 minutes today. It was 20 minutes yesterday. 20 minutes on Monday. I mean, our guys love it. You want them to come and enjoy coming to the rink. You better do something that they enjoy. But they also, they're getting to become better hockey players by doing that. They want to be better hockey players.
I'm not involved in youth hockey whatsoever. At what age do they play on a full rink?
Well, they do it a lot of times at a young age, and they should be. They, you know, might should not be playing full, you know, they should not be playing hockey on a full rink. You know, just like an 8 or 9 year old shouldn't be playing in a baseball diamond where they're 60 feet 6 inches, 90 foot bases, and 330 down the line and 360 up you know, in center field. Same thing. I mean, a 10 year old or 11 year old or 12 year old football player, in my opinion, should be playing on a 100 yard football field. And, you know, with I don't even know how wide a football field is. What is it, Schultz? 50 yards? 52 yards? 53 yards? You know where I'm coming from. So you have to create the environment for the kids so they can have success. And, yeah, it is age-related. And so when I say small games, they're in a smaller area because they're young kids. Just like, again, baseball, just like football. Hey, take a look when we play in basketball. The elementary gyms aren't the same size as the high school
gyms. Chances are the baskets are 8 feet, too, instead of 10.
There you go. I mean, you're not going to have a fifth grader with a 10-foot basket. They're not going to have any fun. They're going to quit. I mean, so that's all probably common sense and logical, but we'll play hockey sometimes in a regulation sheet. We'll play baseball, and maybe they're not using the 90-foot bases, but they're still playing in a, you know, they're playing in a baseball field that, again, that is a Major League Baseball field as far as the dimensions go.
It takes a cutoff man to get it from third to first.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you go to Ferris State, adjacent to their college rink, is what's called a studio rink. The thing is round. I've never seen another one of those in my life.
Are you talking the one at BG or the one Ferris?
Ferris.
I'm sorry. I was reading my text right there. Sorry about that.
Ferris State.
Yeah, because BG has one too, Schultz.
Well, I've never been into theirs. I've always walked past the one to get to the locker room at Ferris. Is that a perfect size for the youngest of young hockey players?
Yeah, maybe a little bigger, though, Schultz. But it's you could use it for a lot of things. And not only, and you see the little tournaments going on when we play right there, which is they're fun as heck.
But the rink is literally round.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
It's probably smaller than a zone. Yeah, it's round and it's kind of a round. We're talking to Doug and Joe here as we're doing this, but yeah, it's smaller. It's smaller than the attacking zone or the offensive or defensive zone. But it's just a like a really, really, really miniature rink, and great for 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds. Great for them, and it's awesome. And hey, you have old timers. I've seen old timers play 3-on-3 there, and it's perfect for something like that. And it's fun.
Does the country need more of those? Because again, I've never seen them.
There's more than you think, Schultz. But yeah, you know what they do. But sometimes too, I think you know, eventually when you're going to put something up, you want to get your bang for your buck. So as long as you probably got, I'm just spitballing here, but you got the, when you're putting the pipes in and you're doing everything, you're saying, well, we might as well make it bigger because it's just the way it is. There's probably not that much more cost to make something regulation. But like I was at the Bemidji High School game the other night. My son and I went, and I showed Matt that the BCA is beautiful. Mm-hmm. What they've done to the BCA is awesome. But it was awesome. We went to the other rink, the practice rink right there, and they had these partitions, which were boards. And they were angled. So it was right on the blue line. It was right on the blue, both blue lines. So they had basically three zones, and they were rounded. It was great. It was awesome. And I just said, this is what it's about. And I was so pumped up when I saw that.
You've been here long enough to remember the Paul Bunyan International Youth Hockey Tournament when the two Russian teams were here.
I don't remember that. No, Schultze, I don't remember that. I wasn't here then. That was in the 90s. That was.
I thought you were here.
No. But I sure am. I'm familiar, though. I'm definitely familiar.
That is such a feather in the hat to the Bemidji hockey community, though. They were able to pull off a tournament where two teams from Russia came. I don't know that it'll ever happen again.
We just have great people in this community. And, you know, the committee, the Paul Bunyan committee, they're just, you know, it's just a bunch of people who worked really hard, and they're community-minded people. They love the game of hockey. And it's an outstanding tournament. They're coming to watch our game. They're in a great community on the weekend. They've got a bunch of events planned for them. It's competitive hockey. They're playing in some great rinks. It's awesome, and it's a highlight for a lot of those kids too, playing in this tournament.
And you look at the number of NHLers that have played in that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's staggering. I mean, that's where the NHLers come from.
Well, it's a fun tournament.
Little kid
to be
hockey.
It's a fun tournament to be part of, and I mean, we're going to have, I think Friday night, you know, Chris Christopher told me, I think there's going to be close to 600-700 people that are in the Paul Bunyan tournament, the players, the parents, and
cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, and working in conjunction with the Sanford Center and Bemidji State, and I really appreciate it. The players appreciate it, and I think it's going to be a great experience for those players. I mean, I'm talking the Pee Wee players as well, mm-hmm. So it's great for them too. So they can do so many things once they come here. Like they've got events planned for them. They can go watch the Beavs and St. Cloud. I mean, two of the top 20 teams in the country. They can play competitive hockey. They're staying in great hotels.
Mm-hmm.
We've got great restaurants. There's just a lot of, it's cool.
Great time to be in Bemidji, that's for sure.
It is. Neil Huey from the Bemidji Pee-wee coach, he will join us here in the second hour today. It's the Tom Ceratori Show from the Tavern. St. Cloud State comes to town on Friday. I can think of no better way to spend New Year's Eve than at the rink. Game starts at 6:07. It'll be done at 8:30. You still have plenty of time to do whatever it is you're going to do before the ball drops.
Yeah.
I can think of no better way to spend New Year's Eve.
Yeah, because it's New Year's Eve, it's a 6 o'clock game, 6:07 game for everybody. So normally Friday games are 7:07, but just this particular Friday game, 6:07.
Mm-hmm.
More of the Tom Ceratori Show when we come back to the Tavern right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas. Live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
Got health coverage on your mind? We can help. I'm Alan Zutz with Thrivent Financial, and we've got UCare, Medicare, and individual and family plans for every budget and need. And now is the right time to enroll for next year. Call us to find out why UCare plans offer you more, including doctor choice and extras you want. Call Alan Zutz or Rice Miller at 444-0202. That's 444-0202.
More and get more when you stuff your stockings and holiday care packages with Green Mill gift cards. Give family, friends, and coworkers a special gift of Green Mill goodness. From award-winning pizza and exciting entrees to the most delicious sandwiches, salads, and refreshing drink choices. Now when you purchase $100 in Green Mill gift cards, receive a bonus $25 gift card free. The gift that gives more. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the mill. The Green Mill of Bemidji.
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a two-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler of Mountain Dew, that's as important a piece of outdoor gear as your four-wheeler or your fishing rod. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
I can't get you out of my head. God knows I've tried, but I just can't forget.
Welcome back to the Tom Ceratori Show here at the Tavern. We're here every Wednesday night starting at 6. Discussing the previous games, which we didn't, because it's been off for a couple of weeks. We'll go off on a tangent each week. This week was about youth hockey because of the Paul Bunyan Youth Hockey Tournament this weekend. And Tom, I forgot to ask you one pretty important part to that youth hockey and youth sports in general is the importance of a coach. And a coach that can do the right things and how impactful that is to a kid at a young age. How important is that, coach?
Huge. I mean, it's so important. I mean, I think coaching and mentorship, leadership is so important, and mostly at such a young age. And sometimes parents are involved. You talked about it earlier, and sometimes, again, you've got that neutral party, which is the coach, and you have somebody who obviously, again, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of life lessons, a lot of life skills. There's somebody you automatically look up to. And they can have such a tremendous impact on you as a person and as an athlete. And it's I think it's critical. And I look back, you know, finally at a lot of my youth coaches. And again, a lot of it too. It's not necessarily the knowledge maybe of the specific sport, but it's just again how they handle people. And that's so important because there's a lot of adversity, you know, in sports, not only, again, when you're older, but when you're younger, too. And you're trying to figure things out. You're just trying to figure things out. And you're going to make a lot of mistakes. I mean, you're young. And, you know, and everybody's, you know, everybody matures differently. I mean, you're going to have kids who are late developers. You're going to have kids who are early developers. There's a lot of moving parts, you know, and youth sports. And, boy, a coach has to understand so many of those facets, and then they've got to deal with it, and then, you know, they got to try to get their message across as a team, but also individually. And sometimes parents struggle with it. Sometimes kids struggle with it, but also some of that stuff isn't all that bad. But also, you know what, there's times they need they need somebody just to tell them, hey, things are going to be fine. And, you know, and then sometimes it can be, you know, there's also obviously bad experience as well, as we all know. So, it's a critical. It's critical for every kid, I think.
Longevity in youth sports coaching is rare. Neil Huey has been coaching the Bemidji Pee Wee team forever. He coached your kid, right?
Yep. Matt loved him, and I tell you right now, in those 2 years Matt spent with Neil, I thought it was a great experience for Matt, and Neil did a tremendous job. He cares about the kids. He's got knowledge of the game. He's fun. Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, too. You got to make it fun, and he makes it fun for him. Matt says it to this day. It's, you know what, some of his best experiences in hockey were those 2 years in Pee Wees. They had good teams too, but those 2 years in Pee Wees playing for Neil, he loved it. And you know what, I can tell you as a dad, and I can tell you my wife too, we really enjoyed Matt playing for Neil.
And knowing Neil the way I do, I know how much time he's got to take off from work to coach.
For sure. And at 6 a.m. Remember those 6 a.m. practices at Nymoor, and then we'd have the breakfast club, so we'd have to bring breakfast. And when it was your turn to bring breakfast, it was like, oh, criminy. And we still laugh. I wonder if Matt and my wife are even listening to this right now, because Matt's home right now, but we could never, ever, ever get him to go to bed on time. But if he had practice at 6 a.m., he was in bed by about 8:30.
Wow.
And then he'd be just pounding on our door. Hey, I got to go. It would be like 5:30, you know, whatever it was, you know, to get to practice. But if he didn't have morning practice, it was like, you know, hey, well, you got to get to bed. You got school. Yeah, whatever. You know, but it was funny looking back at those days. And they go quick. They go quick.
They do. I know Neil, as a baseball umpire for us in the spring too, you got to have employers that understand the value of youth sports. And that if you're involved in youth sports, you may take some time away from work to do it. He works at the co-op.
Yep.
A big thank you to all employers that allow people
absolutely
to take some time
100%
off.
100%, Schulze. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is. And we need more, you know, more mentors. And it's great if, you know, you're right. If the company understands it, and they understand, again, the impact that, you know, one of their employees is making in the community, it's just it speaks volumes for that company as well.
Well, you were talking about his success. They are back-to-back champs. 2021, 2019, obviously 2020, there wasn't a Paul Bunyan hockey tournament because of COVID. But Bemidji's looking for a three-time champion this coming weekend.
Little three-peat for the Bemidji Peewees.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Little three-peat. We like that.
St. Cloud State comes to town this weekend, Tom. Maybe this is just me. For the in-state teams, it's probably the program I know the least about. We haven't played them a ton.
You're right, Schulze. If you want to sit there and, like, we always played Duluth, even though maybe the last couple of years it's been less, but we went for like a 15, 16, 17 year run where we were playing the Dogs every year. We play, you know, and North Dakota's an in-state team. And North Dakota we play every year. So, and of course, Cato's in our league, so you're spot on. You know, Minnesota and St. Cloud. Hey, I'm the same way. I don't know as much about them as probably the other teams as well, just because of what you're talking about.
How much do they have back from last year's Frozen 14?
A lot. You got a lot. They actually, I might have some of this wrong too, but I think they have 4 or 5 5th year guys come back too. So, no, they got a good team.
What jumps off the TV screen at you when you're watching them?
Well, that's what you talked about too yesterday during my press conferences. Their power play is pretty darn good. Their special teams are they're
like 35%.
32.8 or something like that. No, they got a good power play. But you know what? I want to sit there and tell our power play too. Like I said earlier, we're probably sitting at 32 or 33% from November on. So, no, they got a heck of a hockey team. They got good depth. They got good size. They're experienced. They took second in the country last year. No, they're a heck of a team. And this schedule that we've played this year too, I mean, it's been a grind. It's brutal. But you know what? So sometimes too, that I need to, as a coach, take a step back too and say, you know what, you know, you might have high expectations for your guys, and you know what, you want to have high expectations for your guys. The fans want me to have high expectations for the guys, but we played a pretty darn tough schedule so far. I mean, I don't know if we've had the toughest schedule in the country, but we're top three or four. I haven't looked at the pairwise in probably a month, so I don't look at it too often. But you know, that always has your strength of schedule there. I'm curious what we are, but you know, you could probably find it in 2 seconds, Schulze. You know,
to me, the biggest, you know, there isn't a huge difference in a home and home from one night to the next. Except maybe for this one. You're going from small ice to big ice.
Yeah.
Is it harder going from small to big or big to small?
Small to big, 100%.
No, I'm saying from Friday night to Saturday night, that one night difference. Oh. I'm not talking, you know, they're used to playing on big ice.
No, but it's harder to go from small ice to big ice, no matter what, whether us Friday to Saturday or us going to Northern. It's a lot easier for Northern to come to Bemidji than it is Bemidji going to Northern. It's easier for St. Cloud to come to Bemidji than Bemidji going to St. Cloud, 100%. Hmm. Because they play on more small ice, more small sheets than we do, and they grew up on small ice. I mean, we haven't played on Olympic ice a lot. You know, we don't practice on it. You know, we don't play on it too often, but they play on small ice all the time. I mean, take a look at their league. How many Olympic sheets are there? One. Them.
Them.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting at.
CC just moved to NHL
size.
Yeah,
exactly.
Size.
So, I mean, there's all those things.
CC's got a new building. It's NHL size.
Hmm.
Yes, they got the peanut gallery trying to question Schulze and Kelly and TS up here. So we got to maybe tell the peanut gallery to slow down a little bit there.
No, it's already this year.
It's already this year, Dougie. So we just let the cat out of the bag with the peanut gallery.
If you'd like Dougie to be a part of the peanut gallery, you should just show up every Wednesday.
You might have to get an extra microphone here.
No, I'm not giving that to the peanut gallery.
I tried.
Not
I tried.
A chance.
I tried. Sorry, Dougie.
Earlier today, Tom, I was looking back through just scores in the all-time series with St. Cloud State just to see if a game jumped off the page at me because I couldn't come up with one.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of Duluth. My brain immediately goes to the Teddy Bear game.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt. In New York second.
Niagara, 6-second game. St. Cloud State, I'm like, man, nothing is coming to my brain here. So I'm looking, and I see back in 2010, first year of the WCHA, you guys started 0-3-1. You go to St. Cloud. You beat 6-3 Friday night. So now you're 0-4.
How many power play goals did they score on us that night? Four?
Don't know.
It was a ton. I remember that. Maybe four. Three or four goals. Three or four power plays that night. Anyway, keep going.
You come back on Saturday. Ian Lowe ties up the game 2-2 with about 3 minutes left in regulation.
Yeah, we were 16 up. That's right. At the 16-minute mark, I think it was.
Overtime starts. They win the draw. Come into the zone. Work the puck around. Take a shot. Blocked shot. Beavs go on the attack. Ian Lowe scores the game winner 46 seconds into overtime.
It was a changeup, and we talked about it off the air. Like the one thing I remember with that game, Lozy had a bomb. Lozy had a bomb, but for whatever reason, he cued that. He didn't get it off very good, but it handcuffed the goalie. Now, Dougie thinks it was from like inside the red line. I'm going to say, Doug, I think you're wrong on that one, but the peanut gallery wants to, you know what, but I think it was a little, I think it was inside the zone between the top of the circle and the blue line, but it just kind of handcuffed their goaltender.
Mm-hmm. It was three power play goals they scored the night before.
Thanks, Kelly.
Sorry.
No, I remember.
You guys scored a power play goal too, though.
Yeah, but our power play, we had a bad night right there, and we had a problem with our power play. Mm-hmm. We had a problem executing on the kill. And the thing I do remember, we skated that next day, which was a Saturday. We actually had a Saturday skate as a team, and we worked on our penalty kill. I mean, I've never done that in my life. It was the only time in my life I've done that. And Craig Dahl, Craig was on the bench, and Craig was telling me, Tom, have your, you know what, watch this and make sure your guy, and Craig actually really helped me out. And Craig really helped me out. I'll never forget that. And we made a few tweaks and a few changes to our penalty kill, and they didn't get a power play goal that Saturday night, and we went 3-2. And that was our first, our first WCHA win, wasn't it?
Yep.
First WCHA win. Lozy gets that. Overtime goal, and we were fighting it, and you know what, we were fighting it.
You were quoted after that as saying it's the most important regular season win in the program's history, and I read that this morning, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty high praise.
Well, we had
to, but you're coming off of two national tournament years, Frozen Four.
Yeah, but we won our league.
And you start 0-4-1.
But we won our league, and it was a little different playing in this new league. And we needed a win. That was the biggest. I probably maybe said that. I meant what I said at that particular time. It's probably the truth. But we needed a win. Like you know when you need a win. We needed a win. Like we needed that win against North Dakota this Saturday. You needed it. Our guys are playing pretty good hockey. They just needed that. We needed that win because we were playing pretty good hockey. We just weren't. We didn't have a lot of luck. We were fighting it a little bit. So we needed that win, Schulze.
Well, you started the WCHA with North Dakota and Duluth, ranked number 2 and 3 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what you're saying. You needed to win there. But the thing about that game that really jumped off the stat sheet for me, Ian Lowe had 2 goals. Matt Reed had 2 assists. Jordan George had 3 assists.
That was a line.
That's a pretty darn productive night.
Well, they're a good line. Mm-hmm. They were one of the best lines in that league that year.
And George was a sophomore. Reeder would have been a senior. What was Lozy?
Lozy was a senior. Yeah, Reeder and Lozy were the same age. And no, that was a good line. Oh, that's a good line. And they had good. They could move the puck. They had good hockey sense. And you had the skill guy. You had the skill guy in Georgie. You had the shooter in Losey. And then Reeder just brought everything. You know, Reeder brought a lot of playmaking. He could get to pucks. He had good speed. You know what I mean? And then he was that. You know, he was your consummate center. I mean, that was one of those lines that, kind of like how if you want to set up a line. You know, you have your forechecker and you got your shooter and you got your setup man, all that. That was a line you could actually set up, and they had automatic chemistry because, again, they all had a specific role, and it was a good line. It was just a really good line.
Refresh my memory. Were Ian Lowe and Matt Reed on the same line those last 2 years?
Yes.
So after Schofield and Matt Franny.
Yeah, you're talking 9, 10, and 10, 11. So when Franny and Schofield graduated. We went with Losey and Georgie. That line played together for 2 years. They played in 9-10 together, 2009-10, and 2010-11 they played together for two straight years.
Anyone who's on a line with Matt Reed is going to be better because of Matt Reed. How much better was Matt Reed because of Ian Lowe?
Reeder will tell you. If you call him up right now, he'd tell you. My wife did a she was talking to Reeder. I don't know if it was 9 years ago, whatever, for the Horizons, for doing an article for BSU with Reeder, and Reeder brought it up to Cindy at that particular time and saying, hey, I can't remember how Reeder phrased it, but basically it was all about Losey. Losey did
everything dirty.
He did a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Spot on. He did all heavy lifting. He had grit. He had hockey sense. He could pound a puck. He was a team guy first. He'd block whatever it took. He was your consummate team guy. And Losey's still one of my favorite players of all time, just because, again, he was an overachiever. Hey, he played in the American Hockey League. He was an average skater. He was 5'8½", and he played in the American Hockey League. That just tells you. I still remember when he got moved, when they called him up, and he was playing in Austin, Texas, Round Rock right there. And it was the Dallas Stars, obviously, it's their American Hockey League team. And I think he was in Boise. But it was pretty simple. The coach had so much respect for him in Boise. And, you know, they needed a call-up at a couple times. He goes, how could you not send Ian Lowe? Because I knew exactly what Ian Lowe was going to bring. They needed a guy like him. And he goes, I wanted to make sure when whoever I sent them, they were happy with the person that, you know what, that I sent them. And he goes, that's why. He goes, I knew that Losey would never let them down.
I don't remember if it was this particular weekend in St. Cloud, but I seem to remember it was at the National Hockey Center, and I ran into Losey after the game, so I'm assuming it was this game. And I just said, hey, heck of a game tonight. And he didn't have his teeth back in.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He looked like Bobby Clark.
He had the biggest smile. And after a game without his teeth in, it was a hilarious big smile. But I will never forget the look on his face after that, because he was just so darn happy that they won.
It was great. Mm. Actually, you know what? I'd like to – I may just give Losey a call tonight. It was he's just an unbelievable guy.
Mm. Well, he's not aware where are they now, but what's he up to?
He's in Fargo. Yeah.
Really?
Working in Fargo, yeah.
Huh. Didn't know he was still in the States.
Yeah.
Perfect.
His wife's from, I think, the Bismarck area. Yeah.
All right. Who should Beaver fans be paying attention to for St. Cloud?
Oh, boy. There's 18 guys. I'm just not going to even – it's just too many. They're deep. You know, they're really deep. And, they got a heck of a power play. They got so much experience. They're really old. They got Purbix back there on the blue line. They got Spencer Meyer back there on the blue line. Jack Pert's probably going to be back because, obviously, with the World Juniors being canceled today, I'm sure Pert will be back. You know, he'll be here Friday night. And they've got more. They got a heck of a team. And, up front, they've got, they're very dangerous with Henches, and they got Miettinen in, and they got Brodzinski, and you can go on and on. I don't have everything in front of me right now, and I'm thinking on the cup, but they're very deep.
Again, the Beavers will host St. Cloud State Friday night at 6:07, then Saturday at the National Hockey Center at 6:07. We'll have both games for you here on the Beaver Radio Network. Certainly love to see you at the Sanford Center on Friday night. Don't ask me where are they now came from, how this name popped into my brain. But I recall a morning trivia question a few years back. The week leading up to the first hockey games of the year, we always ask Beaver hockey trivia for the morning show. And the question was, spell Sass Frackenham.
Oh, boy.
And the phone rang immediately. And I'm like, who in the heck knows this? I mean, I'll give you 20 seconds to Google it. No, the phone rang immediately. Woman answers, spells the name perfectly. I said, how do you know this? She goes, well, I'm married to him. He and our kids, we live in Bagley yet.
Yeah.
So what is Sass Frackenham up to?
Sam, he's in sales. He's in sales, and they're living in Bagley. And I see him. He comes to the Nagle about every other year. I see him at the Nagle, and he comes bopping around every now and then, and it's great to see him.
Yeah. It's got to be the best hockey name in Beaver hockey history. Sass Frackenham. How do you get any better than that?
It's a great name.
I saw that. On the email you sent Schultzy, and I was like, who? What years did he play?
He played, I might have it a little wrong, 98 to 02 or 99 to 03.
Before our time.
Yeah, it was right when we went D1.
Okay.
Right when we went D1, and he was playing for North Iowa, and actually he's from Winnipeg, played for the St. James Canadians, and then went to North Iowa. And I was kind of recruiting Sass when I was at St. Cloud, and he could really skate. Sass could really skate, and... So I came here, obviously, with Coach, and Sass was one of our first recruits.
Hmm. Very cool.
How can you go wrong? Sass Frackenham.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Well, I'm married to him. Like, well, you better get that right.
That's awesome.
For our player profile. Hasn't had a ton of ice time, but, as a freshman, it is a big learning curve. What have you noticed about Dante Lawson's progression since he walked on campus?
Well, Dante's got really good hockey sense, and he's got a good feel for the game. And the things that we knew when we recruited him, and you see that right now. And he's going to be a good player. He's going to have his day here at Bemidji, and he's just going to have to get stronger. And once he
that
gets
can be
stronger,
said of every freshman.
Well, exactly. And when he gets stronger, he's going to be quicker. He'll be able to get to spots and make those plays and use that hockey sense that he has. He's got a great brain.
He's won a championship. That can't go overlooked, can it?
Well, exactly. You want guys who have played on strong teams in the past. They've had success. They've won. They've been a big part of the reasons that they've won. So no, I mean you can never downplay that, Schultzy.
He's from Taconite, Minnesota.
Which is one of the small towns in the Greenway Coleraine.
Little town, Iron Range.
352 went to my high school. That's why he's from my hometown, my area. Yeah, 352 Taconite.
So how did you end up recruiting him?
Well, because he's from my hometown, and
he knows about.
Well, I know. I mean, the family, and he's a good hockey player, and we just felt to be a good. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Awesome. I love those connections.
Taconite, you go past
Beauvais,
Schultzy.
I'm not from there.
Well, it's all right, but if you're going to, you got to make sure.
We all say it wrong if you're not from there.
It's like Budette.
Phonetically, B-O-V, long E, long E-E. So Schultzy, darn it. Come on, as Coach would say, I'm the Twin Cities. I was from the Twin Cities, Coleraine, Beauvais,
I love it.
You're going to go about, 8 or 10 miles, hang a left.
Right.
You blink and you're going to miss.
Hold on. What'd you say? 8 or 10 miles from where?
Beauvais.
No, like maybe a mile. And a half. Schultzy?
You get to a four-lane back down to a two-lane.
Schultzy, why don't you get on Google Maps and go Taconite to go to Google Maps. I'm going to say 2 miles. Maybe 2.5. Google Maps.
Okay, from the Greenway football field to the turn to Taconite, how far?
Maybe 5.
Schultzy,
well, that's where
right
I was
next
going.
To it.
That's what I was going.
That.
I was going from the high school.
Well, that's Coleraine, and that was from the high school. But even what does it say, Cal? What does it say,
They're
Cal?
They're right next to each other. Schultzy.
If you're going from Grand Rapids,
Ed, you're right.
You get to Coleraine. You get out of Coleraine.
Well, now it's Grand Rapids you're talking.
Hold on. I'm talking a trip from Bemidji to there.
Oh, there you go.
You leave Grand Rapids. You get through Coleraine. It goes to four lanes on Highway 2.
Yeah, you got the bypass.
Or 169, excuse
me. It's the bypass now, yeah.
And then it goes back down to two lanes, and then you're going to turn left.
Yes.
And get into Taco Night.
It's 3 miles.
No, it's Taconite. And it's, you know what? What's the nickname
Taco
for Taco
Night?
What's the nickname for Taconite?
Taco Night.
No, it's the hub of the nation. It says the hub of the nation right there. Home of the Hornets. So there you go.
It's 3 miles, exactly.
And then, you know what? Then the next town is Marble, where the Marble Mallards amateur team, as coach would say, America's team. You know, the Marble Mallards. You know?
I love it. I love small.
But they play in Taconite. Well, they don't even have a team anymore.
Yes, you're exactly right. Oh.
And actually, the last place that the Marble Mallards played was in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
When are we doing the next drawing here, Schultz?
We're out.
We're out. No more, I guess.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think he really wanted those Beaver men's hockey tickets.
Well, let's give them.
Well, I grabbed the wrong ones. I grabbed the women's ones for the end of January. I grabbed the wrong envelope and just looked at the team.
Schultze, your job's in jeopardy now, I'll tell
you. Yeah,
ya.
Fired.
Exactly.
Well, I am not in charge of ticket giveaways. That is somebody else's job, and he's been sick all week, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I got you, buddy.
6:07, Friday night, Beavers in St. Cloud State. Coach, thank you much.
Hey, thank you.
Good
great
luck.
Great night, but something different. It was fun.
Maybe
next week we'll talk about these games.
The bowl games?
But both of them are on Friday, tomorrow night, aren't they? Talking the Oklahoma, Cincinnati, Alabama game.
Semifinals tomorrow already?
Or no, on Friday. Aren't they? I think they're on New Year's Eve, right?
I don't know.
The football games.
I didn't even know that Minnesota played yesterday until I got to work this morning.
How long was that game last night? I fell asleep and it was like the 30. It had to have been like 4.5 hours. Yeah, it was a long game.
If you would have told me the Gophers would finish with 9 wins when Ibrahim goes out in the first half of the first game
exactly.
against Ohio State, that's a heck of a season
for them.
I said
the same thing last night, yeah.
I didn't even know they played until I got to work this morning.
Kel, when are the games? Are they
I'm
Friday?
Trying, there's Clemson playing tomorrow. Oh, that's...
No, that's not... We're talking the final four.
Hmm.
We got Cincy and we got Alabama. And then we got
we'll have that answer after the
we
break.
We got Georgia. Who am I? I'm going Brandon. Who's Neil. Georgia playing?
Football.
What am I?
I'm drawing a blank.
Alabama, Cincinnati.
Oh, Michigan.
Georgia.
Georgia, yeah. Michigan. Georgia, Michigan. I think both games are on Friday.
Neil Huey will join us next. Talk Paul Bunyan Youth Hockey Tournament.
All right.
That's the Tom Cerutori Show here on this Wednesday on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Got health coverage on your mind? We can help. I'm Alan Zutz with Thrivent Financial, and we've got UCare, Medicare, and individual and family plans for every budget and need. And now is the right time to enroll for next year. Call us to find out why UCare plans offer you more, including doctor choice and extras you want. Call Alan Zutz or Rice Miller at 444-0202. That's 444-0202.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. That also happens to have delicious meats and fresh veggies all sandwiched between fresh baked bread. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order, pickup, or delivery on the app.
Jimmy John's new Chicken Caesar Wrap with seasoned chicken, crisp veggies, Caesar dressing, and crunchy croutons. It's the best salad you've ever had sandwiched into a wrap.
Woo!
New summer wraps for a limited time at Jimmy John's. The sandwich of, no, the wrap of sandwiches.
Now that Santa's work is done, you've got new Wi-Fi hungry gadgets around the house. Good thing Paul Bunyan Communications has the GigaZone Internet and GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi you need to power smooth streaming video, lag-free gaming, surfing, and video chat on all your new screens all at once. Get internet speeds up to 10 gig with the GigaZone and GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi. call or click paulbunyan.net today.
Hold on for a second. If words can be weapons, then what I say can affect it. They're not just words on a record, and I can choose to respect it or choose to infect it.
Welcome back to the tavern. The Tom Ceratori Show and the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Each year for, I don't know, the last 15, maybe?
Since we've been here.
I don't know that we did it the first year. So maybe this is year 16 or 17.
Yeah.
We have focused the Paul Bunyan Youth Hockey Tournament on the last show of the year prior to the tournament. And we've had moms from a team from Texas.
They were hysterical.
We've had John Carlson, who was on the founding committee when the tournament came back. That was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the last several, we've had Neil Huey with us, the head coach of the Bemidji Pee Wee team. Two-time champions. Congratulations, Neil. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So there was no tournament last year. When did you guys start?
Yes, there was.
No, 2020 there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
1921. Oh, that's right, because
it was over the
New Year.
Yeah.
Then it was consecutive. Gosh, I'm blaming
myself. It just was not over the holidays last year because of
the COVID. When could you start playing last year?
January 15th, roughly, whatever that Monday was that week.
When do you normally start playing?
October.
Yeah.
Well, we got to play in October last year.
And then not in November or December. Yeah. So how many games do you normally play in a year?
When it's all said and done, 45, roughly.
How many did you get in last year?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not prepared for that question.
He just wants
same
to talk
number?
About this weekend.
No.
A lot less?
Probably half. Maybe a little more. Maybe
two-thirds. How many fewer practices? Ballpark.
Half. Because they extended the season later last year. Mm-hmm. So instead of being done the 1st of March, it was done the middle of March. So they extended it like 2 weeks.
So from a skill development standpoint, we're talking skill development with Tom a lot tonight and with the youth game.
Yep.
Did the COVID year hurt? I had to ask four questions to get to the one that I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, yeah.
Have they caught up?
I think we're in a good spot. I'm not going to say nationwide it's good, but I think we're fine in Bemidji. We have four really good Pee Wee teams. The Bantams are doing well. I don't know. I live the Pee Wee world, so I kind of oversee what happens there, so I don't know what the other teams are doing. And we've been gone all year. I've played 2 home games this year.
Wow.
So
where all have you guys traveled to?
Well, let's see. We've been to Forest Lake. We've been to St. Michael. We've been to Roseau. We've been to East Grand. Yeah.
Well, when we were talking with Coach Ceratori, he was talking about how when his kid was younger, when he was younger, they traveled and they'd stay at the host team's houses. You guys don't do that anymore. It's all hotels.
It's all hotels now. Yeah, we did that back when I played too. But I think over the years, people have become a little more cautious of who they let their kids go stay with sometimes.
Very true.
Is that a fair way to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was a senior in high school, Goodhue, Minnesota, we played a football game on a Friday night at Hoffman Kensington, which is up a little ways past Alexandria. We left at like 10 o'clock in the morning. It happened to be their homecoming, and we stayed at their players' houses. And, oh, by the way, yeah, you can show up to the homecoming dance. How awkward is that?
Yeah, that's weird.
That was extremely weird.
See, we always did it with Rosa back when I played. Like, instead of doing a home-and-home every year, you'd go up there and play 2 games 1 year, and then the next year you'd play 2 at home, and then you'd bill it out. The players would always stay with somebody. And the parents would still get hotels, but they just wouldn't have to deal with the kids.
That might be still their preferred method, but...
I'm sure.
Yeah. So the tournament this year, game start when?
Thursday this year. Thursday. Because of rig constraints, we had to kind of change our schedule around a little bit.
So you're pumping even more money into the economy.
Yeah.
Job well done.
Yep, doing what we can.
Good job.
One more night of hotels and eating at the tavern. And I like that.
Yeah.
16 teams, 13 from Minnesota, 3 from North Dakota, if my math was correct earlier today.
Sure.
Schultzy printed it out for you.
With?
Four North Dakotans.
Fourth.
1, 2, 3.
Bismarck, Devils, yep. Lake, Grand Forks, and Minot.
Yep, there's four.
Or Minot, as the French would call it, pronounce it.
No.
Yeah, Minot was way down on the list, sorry.
It's like Schultzy saying Beauvais.
It's alphabetical.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because of COVID, but do you foresee this ever becoming a true international tournament again? Maybe a Canadian team every once in a while, but...
We had a Canadian team. Thunder Bay was going to come this year till they got told, no, they can't come across.
Yeah. Oh, darn COVID.
So till the border lets them come over...
Who knows when that's going to be.
Exactly.
So how challenging is it for you to build a tournament team, a tournament bracket, where you're not just playing the same teams that you always do, and you're actually giving your kids new competition to play?
It's depending on how many of our usual teams are in the tournament. It's some years it's easier than others. This year, you know, we're playing Brainerd, who we typically play, but they ended up actually having to cancel the game that they were supposed to come up here and play. So we haven't played them yet. And maybe they won't come after, since they're playing us in the tournament, we can just play somebody else instead. I don't know. I don't even know who's in our pool.
We got the...
I've been busy.
Well, that's understandable.
So how many kids do you have on your team
this year?
The pools
didn't print very well. That's why I didn't print those. Yeah. My bad.
Okay. That works. How many kids are on the team? We have 14 players on the team. One goalie, 4D, 9 forwards.
One goalie. What happens?
He better not miss practice.
Right.
He's been gone all week.
Oh, sick?
No.
Oh. Vacation.
It's holidays.
Families. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, he doesn't miss very often, so.
So would you say that is about the average number of players for the teams that are coming? 14, 15?
I mean, yeah. That's probably pretty average. 13 or 14 is about where I'd like to be anyway, so.
Would you prefer to have two goalies so that in practice you could go full ice? Not only a little cardio, but also getting both goalies a lot of shots?
Correct.
So how do you do that with one goalie?
We still go, we just...
Shoot into an empty net?
We might put an obstacle up, put a small net in front of it, and they got to shoot at the big net, or put
See,
up the old...
Coaches are always coming up with stuff.
Put up with the old shooter-tooter.
The holes Joe, in the corners and the
five
hole?
Gotcha. We like to call it Joe Vinyl.
Gosh.
Hey, he's tough. He's got a weak five hole, but he's got a quick chest.
Soft rebounds too.
Soft rebounds.
So Bemidji opens up against Brainerd in that first game, 6 o'clock Thursday, tomorrow night.
Yep.
Then Grand Forks will play Devil's Lake after that. That is at the First National Bank rink. At the BCA. At that same time, Grand Rapids will take on Minot in the Sanford Power Rink at 6:15, and Eveleth Gilbert will take on Minnesota River at 8 o'clock. So those are the Thursday
nights.
Is that
the Ricori area one?
No. Minnesota River is down by Mankato.
Ah.
It's like St. Peter.
That one, Ricori, is River Lakes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we were talking with Coach Territory of, you know, how to balance practice and games. From your standpoint, it's 45 games, and I don't know, how many practices a week are you getting in there?
We practice 3 days a week.
So then you're maybe at 60 practices? Maybe?
Yeah.
Is that a good ratio for you, or would you like to be a little more practice than game?
I mean, personally, it is what it is. I think we could play less games. But, you know, you look at the people in the cities, they play 80 games a year. 60 games a year.
Why would you want your kid to play 80 hockey games in a season?
But the difference is, down there, they play, like, half games.
So they're home. What?
They play, like, hour-long games. So they take a hour time slot that was set up for practice, and they play a game in that. They'll play, like, two 12-minute stop periods, and then whatever's left on the clock in their time, they'll play that as the third period running time.
Is that just because ice time is so expensive down there?
It's partly that, but they've done that for years. I don't know. That's why I quit going down there, because I'm like...
That makes no sense to me.
I agree, because it's like there's no arbitrary length to the game. It's just like, game's over. It's weird.
Yeah, that doesn't get those kids ready for the upper,
real world.
The next level. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to...
That's just bonkers to me. Sorry. Hour's over. We're done.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't...
The door opens up and they just...
This isn't a fast pitch softball tournament in July. You're just wanting to play a few games. And this is the in-season for you, and you're having a time limit? That's just goofy.
Well, a few years ago, well, longer than a few years ago now, but there was still time. We had an hour and a half of ice time in Osseo Maple Grove, I think. There was still time on the clock, and they wanted to keep playing. I'm like,
we beat you.
Yeah, I told the ref, I said, they just want to play because we're beating them. So... They can practice. Mm-hmm. We're going home.
Good call.
Well, it was our fourth game in less than, 2 days, so.
Well, the one cool thing that I love about this tournament, the Paul Bunyan International Hockey Tournament, is all the fun stuff that goes with, I mean, this is not just a tournament, it's an event. It's an experience for these kids to come up to Bemidji, and you guys have the spaghetti feed, the root beer floats. You do the, well, this year they'll get a chance to go see Bemidji State take on St. Cloud State. There's always some fun things that go in hand with this tournament. And, of course, that must make it unique for, because you've been in tournaments with your team. How much pride do you put in this one?
Nowhere that we go does any of that other stuff. It's just a tournament for anywhere else. We have the spaghetti feed. You know, they'll have a spaghetti feed at some tournaments sometimes, but, I mean, to have it set up, you know, the rip your floats, the skills challenge, nowhere has a skills challenge. Nowhere has the opening ceremonies, although these aren't really opening ceremonies this year. It's more of a... It's kind of like the Olympics opening ceremonies where there's already stuff that's happened before they have it.
It's understandable when you're down to a couple of sheets of ice.
Well, that and, you know, when we had to play the games on Thursday, we didn't want to make everybody have to be here on Thursday. Although it would have been nice, but...
We'd take their money.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. The last 2 years, you have won it. Has there been one key to both of those tournament wins?
Different teams, different... I wouldn't say there's a key to... We scored more goals than our opponents.
That is the biggest key to the game, score more goals.
But our teams were completely different between
About
the two
any
years.
Any comparisons to this year's team?
I think we got a shot. I think we got some players. We got size. We can shoot the puck. We defend pretty good, actually.
How's your goaltending?
Outstanding. He also has a quick chest.
Soft rebounds?
They're getting better. Harder rebounds. No, he's good.
Any girls on the team?
No.
Do you know how many teams that are coming will have girls on them?
I don't.
Because to me, at that age group, the girls are always bigger.
Taller.
Mm-hmm. And... Sometimes faster just because their legs are longer.
Yeah.
And then you get some kids that, some boys that just have not hit that growth spurt whatsoever. They come up to, like, their elbow. And I always think to myself, I'd like to see those two standing next to each other in a year. Bet you the guy catches her at that point.
Yeah, probably.
That is the one thing about that age group. You're going to get some real tiny kids. You're going to get some kids that have already hit their growth spurt.
Yeah.
Is that part of the reason why the stop signs got put on the backs?
The stop signs.
I do like the stop signs.
I hate the stop signs. You've watched plenty of hockey.
I know.
The game is fast.
It is fast.
That stop sign ain't stopping anybody.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So, I don't know. They crack me up. The stop signs are there to get people to stop hitting people from behind. That's the theory behind it.
Doesn't work.
That makes sense.
No. People don't read signs. And the game's too fast for that to have any effect whatsoever.
Yeah. It's hard to stop your momentum.
Yes.
Especially when they're against the wall and they turn at the last second.
Correct. So, yeah, I don't really think the stop signs do a whole lot, personally. I'm sure there's some study out there that somebody that's smarter than me has done that defies my logic, but...
There, in the last 5 years, was a major rule difference between Canada and U.S. youth hockey. What was it again?
Let's see, which one? Let's just talk about... Everybody's watched hockey. Peewee hockey, we have no checking.
Mm-hmm.
We have no tag up offsides.
Offsides is offsides.
They just blow it dead. Okay. I think that's probably the one. That's the major one that's different between Canada and the U.S., I think. I don't think Canada's gone down that road yet. The other one is we can no longer ice the puck when we're penalty killing.
That threw me off last year because that went into effect last year, didn't it?
Yes.
And I was like, wait a minute, they're on the penalty kill. You cannot ice the puck.
Right. Well, you can.
You're just going to get
just icing.
D-zone face-off.
Yeah.
Can you line change in youth hockey?
Yeah, those refs can't keep track of that. They're not that skilled.
The refs?
Yeah. They have a hard enough time calling just the icing, much less keeping track of which kids were on the ice.
I remember when college went to that, all four refs beeline to the bench as soon as icing was called. Just trying to keep everybody from diving over the wall into the bench. And, yeah, I wasn't out there.
Yeah, what are you talking
about? I'm so glad that changed.
Yeah. I mean.
So what's the rationale behind doing that in youth hockey?
So the rationale is USA Hockey wants coaches to coach their way, and they want you to teach your kids to handle the puck instead of just icing the puck.
Icing the puck while on the penalty kill has been part of hockey for 100 years.
There's lots of flaw to this logic, in my opinion, but would you like me to expand?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't like it for the fact that they used their national development camp to try it out, and then it worked really well there.
It's the best players at that age.
Get the best players in the country. Of course it's going to work well. They can all handle the puck. They can all do stuff. You get your local club team. You don't know what you're going to have. You might not have a bunch of guys. So now you got to sit there. Now teams got to sit there and keep using their top guys to penalty kill, where it just took away the third line grinder guy that blocks some shots and get the puck out and get off the ice.
So has it shortened your bench on the kill?
No.
Has it shortened the bench for some coaches on the kill?
100%.
Well, then that's a stupid rule.
Right.
At this age.
It's the same thing as the offsides rule. They want coaches to teach the D-men to handle the puck instead of just dumping it back in and letting your guys tag up. Again, don't make a rule. You shouldn't have to make a rule change to entice coaches to do the right thing. If coaches aren't teaching people how to regroup the puck, they shouldn't be coaching. They keep talking these small area games now and all this stuff. It's like, that stuff, I've been doing that for 20 years.
And at the end of a shift, a coach is fine. Dump it in your offsides, get out, and
change.
Go to the bench for a change. Who cares?
And now it slows the game down because now you get a whistle.
I don't understand that one. Not at that level. They've talked about it in college, and the NHL has dabbled in talking about it slightly. And everybody says, are you crazy? And then it stops.
Right. But these guys in Colorado know better.
Interesting.
Well, so, I can't wait.
I hope nobody from Colorado Sunday. Listens to this show. And
doubt it.
I don't know why they would.
I don't either.
So I will have the four championship bracket games on Sunday from the BCA. And if Bemidji happens to play in the championship game like they did last year, it'll be on 1300. The Legends. 94.3 FM. Or is it 1360?
1360.
It's on 1360.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So all four games on Sunday for the championship of each pool will be streamed at PaulBunyanHockey.com.
Beautiful.
For free.
For free.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And they've even got the archives on there.
As we have for several a decade years. And a half.
Several years.
Yeah.
The first year I did it, I was at Nymore in the end of the rink in that little press box over there.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the most peculiar angle to call a hockey game ever. You're at an angle and you're at the end.
Have you matched it yet? You've been a lot of places now.
Princeton was bizarre. End of the rink, looking through a wire mesh.
During COVID at Wisconsin last year, I had to drive myself there. They put me in the concourse because there weren't any fans. And instead of putting me at the blue line, they put me in a corner. I'm like,
that didn't make there's nobody in the building.
Nobody in the building.
They that made no sense.
In the corner.
You should have moved.
Well, it's Wisconsin. I don't dare do that.
Yeah, the drunken Scotties won't care.
They weren't in the building.
Right.
Be nice. Hmm.
So the last several years that I've done it, I won't this year because we're playing Friday, Saturday, and I won't get back till late Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. So?
Been at the Sanford Center.
Nice and warm.
In my nice press box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know where I'll be. I haven't been
BCA
to the BCA.
BCA has a press box.
I have never broadcast year? From there.
You were there last year.
No, we were at the Sanford Center last
no.
year. Yeah, we were.
No.
Yeah, we were.
No.
Yes, we were.
No.
She's never broadcast from the BCA.
Have you?
No.
I did them last year from the Sanford Center.
No.
No,
you're wrong.
Actually, Neil's right.
You're wrong.
Did you
asked,
do?
No. You asked
you
if
there.
They had a press box, and I said, yes, they do.
You were there.
And nobody was there to unlock the door right away when you got there.
Oh, that's right.
We were
oh
the
my gosh.
We were the visiting team against Crookston.
I can't remember.
Blame COVID.
I'm blaming COVID.
Blame it on everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
It's COVID's fault.
One of the great
That's
things
right.
about this tournament, and youth hockey tournaments in general have gone to this model, is when the team pays their registration fee, it also includes their tickets for their parents and grandparents and whomever else wants to come.
Yep.
So anybody from Bemidji can come and watch these games, and it doesn't cost you a dime.
Exactly.
Just show up to BCA.
Just come to the BCA. There's games going on all day Friday, all day Saturday.
And Sunday.
All day
Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Thursday night. Four games Thursday night.
Yeah. Some
anybody
good hockey.
Anybody bringing an RV and parking it in the high school parking lot?
Wouldn't surprise me. I can't say if they are or not. But.
Ooh, it's going to be 27 below on Saturday night. I don't know that I'd want to be in an RV in the parking lot.
No.
Give me a hotel room, please.
16 teams to compete this weekend. That's a lot of teams.
Pumping a bunch of money into town.
Yep.
And that was part of the whole concept of having the tournament at this time of the year. It's a time when the hotels and the bars and restaurants have been slow.
Yep.
Let's bring 15 other teams to town. Spending money.
Yeah.
We like it. Neil, best funny. Of luck.
Yeah,
thanks,
good luck.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
PaulBunyanHockey.com has all the games for you on Sunday. Free webcast.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a interesting TS show tonight. I'm not going to lie.
Talked youth hockey and all kinds of good stuff, huh?
He was...
He loved it.
Yeah, he did.
I know. I think he likes talking other things other than...
He does.
Hockey, college hockey.
Well, we've got four games for you this weekend on the Beaver Radio Network. The two hockey games and two basketball games against Crookston on Sunday. AP will have those for you. Men at 2, women at 4 on Sunday. End of January, they flipped the schedules, correct?
I think it's mid-January.
And the rationale was, and I've had a bunch of people ask me, imagine you're the women's team, and every road trip for the last, I don't know, 20 years, Friday night you play the early game, you have to sit around and wait for the men's game to finish. Then you get in the bus and you drive to the next town and you got to play the early game again the next night?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not fair. So they flipped. Half the season the women are first, half the season the men are first.
Oh, that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Women beat Crookston, hit a boatload of three-pointers. Men lost to Crookston the first time.
That's Crookston's only win in conference.
Ooh. Ooh. What was it, like a 17-point win or something like that?
It was double digits. You know, Momo really struggled. He was 1 of 17. You don't think that's going to happen again?
Mm-mm.
That's tough to go 1 of 17.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could go 1 for – well, we probably could, but
– Oh, I'd go 0 for.
0 for, okay, there we go.
There's a reason I put stripes on.
I got you, all right.
I'm a lot better referee than I ever was a three-point shooter.
And I haven't played organized basketball since junior high, so, yeah, I'd go 0 for whatever.
I got you.
Not that anybody needed to know our personal stats, but
we won't put those in the back of any bubblegum cards.
Nope.
That's why we didn't play.
There you go. You know your role. That's good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have the women hit that many threes in a game other than that one?
This last game, Minot State, they hit 10 in the first half.
It's a productive half.
It was. I think Maddie Shires had 4 of those off the bench.
That team's got a couple of spark plugs.
They do.
That can come off the bench.
Yeah, Claire Wolhow, Maddie, and Coley Rezebeck, those three, I think, combine for maybe half of their points in that game. That's nice when you've got Hadela, Bachman, Czar, Yoder, and let's not forget about Taylor Vold, but she doesn't score as much. But those other four can score a lot. And you bring three scorers off the bench. Then our favorite player, of course, Jana Energy Swanson. With a million rebounds a second.
She does not look that imposing on the glass, and the ball just comes to her. Sometimes there's just no way to explain it. The ball just comes to her.
Three speeds in life from what I've observed when off the court. Fast, faster, fastest. She gets after it. As Coach Seville said, not a lot of overcoaching with her. Give her a couple of words of advice, let her go.
So Sunday, BSU was offering free tickets to any kindergartner through senior in high school.
Yes, I saw that.
If, let's say, hypothetically, you dropped out in the 10th grade, would you still get a free ticket?
Technically, you would still be a 10th grader.
Okay, all right, so you get to go. That's good, all right.
That extra COVID year or whatever?
Sure.
Why not?
You know, Kelly, we need to pitch to Hollywood. Schulze will be the host. It's a knockoff of the Jeff Foxworthy show. His will be entitled, Technically, You're Still a 10th Grader. What do you think?
I was wondering where the hell you were going.
Live from Bemidji in mid-January, baby.
There you go. Right?
We'll see if they get those SAG union camera operators up here.
Well, if you have kids ages or kindergarten to high school.
Yeah. They get in free.
Free.
Or if you have that cousin that dropped out in
fourth grade. That's the basketball games.
Yeah.
Who drops out in the fourth grade, AP?
Somewhere did. You know, those stories of, you know, walking three times to school, all uphill, dropped out in the fourth grade.
Maybe one of the Clampets did, but that was a TV show.
Yeah, you're right. I get too much Hollywood in my mind, right? That was a make-believe. Here's a little story about it. Yeah, okay.
Boy.
So, Beaver hockey for you Friday and Saturday. Beaver basketball for you on Sunday. Going to ease you back into the season and ease you into 2022 with just 4 games this weekend.
It took easy like Sunday morning, right? Sunday afternoon.
Lionel Richie,
right?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. All right.
I saw him in concert.
Women's hockey's off for another 2 weeks?
Yes. I'm headed back down to warm Florida next weekend for more Premier Hockey Federation
games. That's a nice rub-in for everybody else.
I know. Minnesota Whitecaps games.
Your third trip in about the last 4 weeks to Florida?
Ah, I love it. Especially this week.
Do they pull the private jet on the north or south side of the tarmac for you? That's where I've been confused.
Yeah, no. My friends at ESPN don't do that yet
me. Not yet. I like the attitude.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Good catch, AP.
Yeah. You know, aspirations, drive.
Absolutely.
Expectations.
So BeaverRadioNetwork.com will have all of the details for you on all four games this weekend. We'll be back next Wednesday with the Tom Ceratori Show at 6. I don't know that I've told him this yet, but I'm going to shoot for Coach Boshi in the second hour.
All right.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Jensen Beaver men's basketball. Hope everyone has a happy and safe New Year's.
Yes, please don't drink and drive. Get a designated driver this weekend.
Designated drivers don't cost anything.
Even if it's the apple juice that Kelly likes.
Yeah.
They don't cost anything. You know how much drunk driving costs you?
A lot.
A lot more than nothing.
Yeah, not worth it.
Have a great New Year's. BeaverRadioNetwork.com with details, and we'll see you at the rink and at the gym this weekend. Good night, everyone.
Go Beavers.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.